Okay, let's get into the word tonight. Praise God. Matthew chapter 9. And this is entitled tonight, Faith and Authority. Faith and Authority. We're going to talk about faith and authority. Matthew chapter 9. Yeah, fellas, if you want to drop the collar on there, that would be absolutely fine. Wait till Pastor John comes back in, though. That would be a good thing. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 9, this is entitled Faith and Authority. Faith and Authority. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read this event that took place here in this chapter, and then we're also going to read it in Mark chapter 2. Verse number 1, and he, it's talking about Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your thoughts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he rose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now, I'm going to read it over in Mark chapter 2 as well, but notice that verse number 8. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. You see that? When I look at that, I mean, it points to that, the fact that Jesus was God. Yes, he was in the flesh, but he functioned and operated as a man. And I want you to see that in that end of that verse. He had given such power unto men. Unto men. So they recognized that this was Jesus. They recognized that it was Jesus who was there. I mean, but they knew there was something different about him, and they marveled over that case. Mark chapter 2, and let's read the parallel account that Mark recorded. I love this incident. We've gone over it before, but it's worth going back to. And just because you've heard it once doesn't mean you don't need to hear it again. Amen? Just because you have read the Bible through doesn't mean you shouldn't read it every day. You need to be on a constant, I'm constantly going in and reading, okay? You need to constantly be getting into the Word. Do your devotion, spend some time in prayer, do whatever the Lord needs you to do and tells you to do in regards of your giving. That's very, very important. But in Mark chapter 2, look at verse number 1. Again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, this is that incident. You remember, it was a guy that had a palsy in his body. And he was, on a bed, couldn't get up, couldn't walk. And so these guys, they heard about Jesus. So they're going to go ahead and bring him to the Lord. Well, I think that's interesting because they couldn't get him through the door. They end up going up on top of the roof. Now, how would you feel about it if this place had a roof where, it's up there and somebody's going to drag you up on the roof because the place is so jam-packed full that you can't get in the door, and you are going to say, well, if we're going to get up and get him in there, we're going to have to cut a hole in the roof. And they drop you down on ropes. I mean, now think about it for a minute. Have you ever seen or tried to let something down that's long? And you've got it on one end and on the other. Have you ever done it? If you let one end down a little too soon, that guy's going to tip right off it. I mean, I don't know if it was 8 feet up, 10 feet up, 15 feet. I don't know how tall this was. It doesn't say. Now, I would assume that it's not as tall as in here. But the fact is, if you don't let that down even, he could slide foot first off. He could, one side gets a little higher than the other on this way, you know. You could flip him off the side of it. There's some little bit of risk involved here. But this guy trusted these men enough to let him down and get him to Jesus. And look at this. They uncovered, verse 4 again, the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, your sins are forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the sick of the palsy, your sins are forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now, I just told you a story. We read it out of the Word, but I told you this story that happened. This actually happened. This is not just a fairy tale. This is not something that we made up, something that's good for, you know, preaching. No, this actually happened. And that's where you have to pull in and say, now, wait a minute. I've heard this many times, but let's get rooted in this thing. This event actually occurred. This actually happened. I love that. When you start looking along those lines and you say, Jesus saw their faith. That tells me something about faith. It tells me something about when the miracle happened. If you back up to the front end of the chapter, where was it? Verse 2. At the end of verse 2, it said he preached the word unto them. Do you see that? He preached the word to them. Preaching always precedes the move of God. Preaching, instruction in the word, ministry in the word, telling the word. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm telling you what happened. You need to know the same thing happens today. There are some of you out there that I know that need healing tonight, are fighting against various attacks that have come into your body, some in your finances. The Lord is capable, not only capable, but also very, very willing to straighten out a body that needs healing, a checkbook that needs more money in it. Amen. A marriage that needs peace. Body that needs strength. A mind that's, you know, messed up, that needs to be brought to a place of peace. Sure. He still does that tonight. And as I tell you this from the Word, the Bible says, Romans 10, verse 17, Sharon, you can quote it where you're at. I know you'll quote it. She always does for me. So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? By the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. So faith is, what we see here in this account, faith is discernible. Faith is discernible. Jesus saw their faith. I'm saying this, the Bible tells us that faith without some kind of works attached to it is lifeless, dead, will not produce. So your faith is seen in and through the actions that you carry out before others. You say, well, I don't do it before people. I do it before the Lord. Well, I'll tell you this much. The Lord knows your heart and your motives. And yes, if he tells you, instructs you to do something, to act on your faith, you better do it. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. But there are times when the Lord has you do something and it ministers to those around you, just like Abraham when the people saw his faith. And he was justified before the people, not only by the walk of faith that he was in, but by the works that he carried out before them. When he took his son up to the mount, you remember that. So in verse number 7, I want to show you something here. Look at the end of, now let me just, for the sake of bringing it all into focus. I've told you before that there were two different words in Hebrew used for forgiveness. When he said, son, your sins are forgiven thee. Do you all remember this? Yeah, I've preached it many times through the years, but I'll just remind you of it again. Jesus used the word for forgiveness that was only used for forgiveness from God to man. And there was another word that was used that was to be used in interpersonal relationships here in the earth. I forgive you, or you say I forgive you, or we forgive that person over here. What? There was forgiveness from man to woman, you know, that kind of thing. Earthly things in our relationships with one another. But Jesus didn't use that word. That was the commonly used word. No one ever used that other word. Jesus did. And that's why they said this man is speaking blasphemies, and that's why they questioned him of who do you think, literally, who do you think you are? This guy is blaspheming. And Jesus is like, why are you reasoning all this in your heart? Which is easier for me to say? Son, your sins are forgiven you, which you can't see happening, or take up your bed and walk, right? And so he turns to the sick of the palsy and tells them to get up and walk. They all see it. And so they have to ascertain, they have to come to the conclusion that if when he told them to get up and walk, he was healed. This guy we know is bedfast, can't walk. He got an instantaneous, powerful manifestation of the anointing in him that raised him up off this bed. And he said he was forgiven? Golly. Yeah, I think he's probably forgiven too, amen, based on what we saw with the manifestation of the power that way. One you could see, one you couldn't see. Now, when I received Christ and realized I was forgiven of all past sin, you could see it on my face. I know you could. Can you all testify to that? When you were born again, there was a joy that came over you and a peace that filled your life, filled your heart that hadn't been there before. And it was obvious to people. They go, what happened to you? Let me tell you what happened to me. Before I was a believer, you know, I wasn't near as full of joy like I am now. Praise God. Anyway, so here's this verse at the end of verse 7. I just want to touch on this quickly. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Why is he speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Do you see that? Who can forgive sins but God only? Now, somebody will say, well, God is the only one who can forgive sins. That's true. That's absolutely true. You and I can forgive one another, but we are not the one who actually forgives the sins, are we? Because you're not God, neither am I. But this attitude of God only can do this kind of thing has rolled over into the area of the walk of the believer today. And a lot of Christians think it's all up to God. In the area of their healing, their prosperity, some people think it's all up to God and you and I have no responsibility in it and we have nothing to do with the process. And that's wrong. The devil wants you to lay it off and go, God will do what he wants to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, I don't, you know, the person died, so it must have been God's will. It's amazing how people end up blaming God for things that God never did. But you and I have responsibility and we have accountability before the Lord to take the authority that he has given to us, and it's not just up to him. He said in John 14, verse 12, the works that I do, you're going to do too, right? How many of y'all remember that verse? So the works that he did shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do. Those are simple verses that we know. But let's not forget, the works he did, we're supposed to do. Well, only if he does them through me. Well, that's true, but you have to make yourself available. He's not going to jerk you up by the collar and make you go pray for somebody. He can urge you all he wants, but if you go, oh man, I'm going to go down and shoot hoops instead. I'm going to go and do this instead. I'm going to do this instead. You know, that's just the fact of the matter. People make choices. They make choices all the time, either to get into the Word or not get into the Word, either to pray or not pray, read the Word or not read the Word. Can I hear an amen? It's true. It's true. So choices come into play here, but this God-only thing is really not right. It's God who can only forgive sins. Yes, that's true. But he wants us to recognize our place in this thing. You and I have a part to play in him moving in this earth. If he says that you are to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, and you go, I'm not going to do anything. He's just going to do it. Wait a minute. He told you to lay hands on the sick. Yeah, well, it's just God. God's just going to have to do it. No, you need to lay hands on the sick. That means do it. That means put some action to your faith. Put some feet to your faith. That is discernible not only before God, of course he can see your faith, but before people as well. Amen. Now, let's talk about this, that Jesus functioned as a man who was anointed by God, because that's what Acts chapter 10, go over there. Acts chapter 10 says just that. You know this verse, how God anointed. It's Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I love this verse. It's one you shouldn't forget either. But it says something more than what many times we have seen. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Okay, we see that sickness is satanic oppression, right? Okay, but how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, let me say this to you. If Jesus was functioning in the earth as God, he wouldn't have needed to be anointed, right? Okay, so it's important that you understand that. Jesus set aside the privileges of deity. He never set aside his deity. He was still God in the flesh. He just spoke forgiveness from the first person of God to a person. The person was forgiven. He said, I'll show you here, which is harder for God to do, to forgive sins or to heal. The same power that heals will forgive sins. God is God. Amen. Amen. So he functioned that way. He functioned as a man anointed of God. He never set aside his deity. He was and always will be deity. Okay? But he set aside the privileges, and why did he do that? He did that so you and I would have an example of how we can walk in this earth. We can take the same promises, the same word that he stood on and spoke, and in his name, go and do the same things he did. I didn't make that up. I wish I had. He's the one that said it. Jesus said it. That's John 14, verse 12. The works I do shall ye do also, and greater works. I mean, that's powerful. So in this, you need to realize and recognize that in the word, there are times it says Jesus Christ. It'll say Christ Jesus, right? It'll say Jesus the Christ, or it'll just say the Christ, or it'll just say Jesus, or in places, Jesus of Nazareth. We just read that, right? And you realize what's happening. That's done on purpose in the word, with the emphasis placed on the humanity of Christ or the deity, depending on which one comes first. But it's important that we realize that he was functioning as a man. He was deity in the flesh. Oh, there's no doubt about it. No doubt. He is that perfect lamb from the foundation of the earth, slain for you and I. Never sinned. But he functioned as a man. Now, let me ask you this. We know Jesus never sinned, right? Scripture says that. He was tempted, Hebrews chapter 4, around about verse 15 through 16, somewhere in there, 14. He was tempted in every point like as we are, yet he was without sin. The works that I do, shall ye do also. Now hold it a minute. Yeah, but I'm just a human. I know that, but every time you sin because you choose to sin. I'd like to say that it's just, it's just a pattern I live in, and there are times, I just can't help it. I mean, has the devil ever told you just can't help it? You just have to do it. You just have to act that way. You just have to do this. You can't help that. That's what it is to be a human. You've got this flesh, and you can't, so don't worry about it. Just repent of it later. It's the way the devil plays. But the works that Jesus did here in this earth, functioning as a man anointed of God with the Holy Spirit, he set aside the privilege of being deity. He was still deity, but all the privileges that went with it, he set it aside and walked as a man to set an example. 1 Peter chapter 2 says that he left us an example or an ensample of how to live and how to walk. So he was tempted in all points, yet he was without sin. Let me ask you this tonight. Do you have the power to resist sin? Do you or don't you? Okay, we do. We absolutely do. This is one that just makes people just, they go tilt, you know. Oh, there's just no way. There's just no way. Why don't you do this? And some will come along and say, that's wrong. That's not, you just can't help it. That's not true. That's what the devil wants people to think. You just can't help it. You've done that way for all these years. You just cannot overcome that. You can't help it. Well, a new man in Christ can. So why don't you start making it a goal in your life to not, and hear me in this. Why don't you make it a goal to not entertain thoughts that run contrary to the scriptures? Begin judging them quickly. Well, I was tempted. You know, I had this thought. It was a bad thought. You know, it wasn't a godly thought. Well, if you kick it out right away, you're doing exactly what Jesus did when he was tempted in every point like you and I have been. He was tempted. Where was he tempted? He heard the enemy say something to him. Oh, Jesus wouldn't hear the devil. And that's not true. He did too. He was tempted in every point like as we are, but he resisted it. Now, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I don't have to give in to stuff. Neither do you. We need to work on repatterning our days to follow in his footsteps. And become consciously aware of it. And don't let the little things slip. It's the little foxes. I was just reading that the other day in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things, the little irritations that you don't deal with that end up messing you up and actually causing you more trouble than you even know. So I want to go on with this quickly because I'm going to pray the prayer of faith tonight for those that are needing healing in their bodies. And my faith is up to believe God for your recovery quickly. Now, Jesus spoke to all types of sickness. Amen. He spoke to the trees. He spoke to the fig tree. Cursed the fig tree. You remember that? No man eat fruit of thee from hereafter. And his disciples heard it. And the next morning they go back and they go by. And Peter notices that that tree is withered from the roots up. Overnight, the thing withered up. That's some power, man. I mean, I've shot, small trees with heavy-duty Roundup trying to kill them, and it took a number of days to do it, And some, it was like you had to do it a second and third time because it just didn't kill. The power of God killed a full-grown fig tree and withered it up from the roots overnight. That's the power, hallelujah, that is in the Lord. The works I do shall you do also. Ideally, it would be nice if I never had to put weed killer on my yard again. Just go out there and curse all the weeds. Now, we're being realistic. I have weed killer, okay? All right? I use it. I have a spray unit on the back of the gator. I spray the whole property and boom, and oh, yeah. I'm uptown. That's a pain. Anyway, I get it done. Look at here. So, Jesus, in the speaking to the wind and the waves, he even spoke to death, did he not? He called Lazarus forth from the tomb. He had been dead, and he stinks. Lord, he stinketh. I mean, every time I read that to this day, it just makes me smile. Stinketh. I can see this woman. She didn't say stinketh. She didn't. That's just the King James. But he also laid hands on the boy that was already in the casket, and they were having the wedding, or the wedding. It wasn't a wedding. It was a funeral procession. And he reached out and touched the casket, and the boy came alive, right? Sure. I mean, the power of God. Jesus spoke to sickness. He spoke to fevers. He laid hands on Peter's mother-in-law, and the fever left her like that. I've actually seen that happen when I've laid my hands on people before that were burning up with fever, and their body went totally normal in an instant. I mean, that is something you'll never forget. I've seen that happen. I felt it happen under my hand. Is it my hand? No. I had to lay my hand on the person, but the power of God took care of the fever. Thank you, Lord. Fever's a lousy thing. I know it's the body fighting off infection. I know that's what it's doing, you know. But the power of God gets in there and speeds the whole process up, and boom, the fever goes because the infection goes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So in all of that, in every instance when Jesus spoke the word, laid hands on people, cast out devils, whatever he did, he always gave God the glory for it. He always gave God the credit. He never took it unto himself, did he? Think of it, time after time after time. He said, the Father in me, he doeth the works. He always gave glory to God. Please don't lose sight of that. When you lay hands on somebody and they get healed, don't get a big head about it. I mean, for crying out loud, it's not you. It's him through us. It's sometimes people, you know, they get a powerful thing that happened when they laid hands on somebody or spoke the word. And praise God for the testimonies. I agree, we need to give the testimonies, but always give the glory to God. Don't ever try to touch that yourself. That'll be the last time it ever happens through you, should you start to go that route. So please, do not do that. I'm not saying that you have, but I'm just saying that's a good warning for all of us. Amen. Jesus was so completely submitted to the Father that that's how it operated. The anointing did through him. Sure. You know, when I was talking to you before about only God, and so you could say it this way, only the head, right? Only the head can do the works of raising the dead and all that. Only the head, only God can do this stuff. Only God. Yes, that's true. He is the power that raises the person up from the dead. He's the power that heals the person of the sickness or wipes out the fever or turns around the financial situation or brings a powerful manifestation of his spirit into the situation and the situation miraculously turns around, which is what we're believing for our nation right now. But the fact is he uses people. And that's the point of it. It's not God detached from his body. That would be like saying, like, my head came in here tonight without my body. How would that look? Kind of spooky. Here comes his head. You know, or to say that my head, and as Jesus is the head of the body is attached to him, right? We function and have been authorized to function in conjunction. Oh, that rhymes. Function in conjunction. Sounds like a show when I was a kid. What was that called? The conjunction from something, right? It's my, what was it? Schoolhouse Rock. No, she had it. You want to sing it, Lisa? No, she says no. So conjunction, junction. Is my function, right? That was when I was a kid. Yeah, you were a lot littler, I know. You remember that, Chris? Yeah. Well, anyway, Larry, you don't remember that one because that was, you were probably, you were a little older by that time. Okay, I know. Praise God. But so he will work in conjunction with us. So that's why he says, the works I do, you'll do it. So you have to step out and do it. These, in that incident in Mark chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 9 that we just read about the man being let down, he saw their faith. They stepped out in faith. The man had to agree with it or he never would have let him down on those ropes through the roof, for crying out loud. And in doing that, Jesus saw the faith, not only of the four that bore him, and we're letting him down, but the guy that allowed it to happen, because like I said, he could have tipped right out of there and flimsy little rope broken, and Lord only knows what could have happened. But we are authorized to act, And in order for the head to accomplish its will, there has to be cooperation. My head cannot accomplish the will that I have for me if I leave my shoulders and the rest of me behind somewhere. So Jesus is the head, and if he's going to accomplish his will, brothers and sisters, he's going to use people. That's what the body is about. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Make a note of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. I'm just going to read you one verse out of each one of those portions quickly, and we'll go home after we pray. Ephesians 1, verse 19 says, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places?" You and I are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what Ephesians 2, verse 6 says. "And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We're seated with him in heavenly places. The throne of God is the highest seat of authority in the universe. Ever will be or ever has been, it's the throne of God. There's no higher place of strength and authority than the throne of Almighty God. Amen? Amen. And you and I are seated there with him in Christ. You say, "Well, I'm here. I'm not there." No, in Christ. It's because Christ sat down at the right hand of the Father. And you and I are seated there with him because he sees us in him and he sees him in us. Hallelujah. We have his name. We have his spirit. We have the word. We're supposed to be doing the works. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So with that in mind, let's stand to our feet and we're going to pray right now. And I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for those of you that have needs tonight. Father, thank you for the word that we've heard. We thank you and praise you for your goodness. We give you glory and honor and thanksgiving that you are the God that heals. You are the God that delivers and sets free. We are seated in heavenly places with and in Christ. Oh, yeah. It's because of our advocate with the Father that we have anything in this life. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you that when we pray and we pray in your name that you hear us. And we know that if you hear us, we have the petitions that we ask of you. So in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord God, I put my faith out for healing. Reach out. Those of you out there that need healing in your bodies tonight, if you're online or right here in the church building, reach out by faith and receive your healing tonight. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for the power of your spirit touching the bodies of those that have needs tonight. I curse sickness of any kind that has afflicted my brothers and sisters. Oh, don't automatically assume it's COVID. But whatever the case may be, I speak health and recovery. There's an anointing right here, right now. It is so tangible on my hands right now. I feel that anointing. And I don't always feel that. Father, thank you for healing. Thank you for healing flowing in the people. Receive your healing tonight. Receive it. Reach out by faith and say, "I receive my healing." Okay, it's not healing that you need. Receive your deliverance. Maybe it's a habit, something that's bound you up and you can't seem to get past it. Maybe it's a financial need and you need the power of God to touch your finances to bring some change there. Receive it tonight. Receive your healing. Receive your abundance. Receive your cleansing, if that's what it is. Receive the peace. Receive the recovery. Receive an excellent night's rest tonight in Jesus' name. Just receive it by faith and call it done. Call it done. Take it by faith tonight. It's that same power that dwells in you that raised Christ up from the dead. That same power that dwells in you is the same power that healed that man, that he reached out and when he was let down and Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven, rise up, take up your bed and walk." That same power dwells in you tonight if you're a believer in Jesus Christ.